North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com is brought to you in part by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern, a great place to stop by while you're out on your holiday shopping this month. This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, December 9. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore. And in today's program, we'll hear from Swampscott Town Manager Thomas Younger. That'll be coming up just a little bit later on in the program. And later on, we'll put a post up on the website with Mr. Younger from Swampscott. Have a couple of things, Rick, here to just touch on here before we get going. Was over in Swampscott yesterday, and they are going to... And we have a post up with their recreation director on the website. And they have some activities going on this weekend, starting on Saturday. And one of them is ice skating out at Town Hall. So this is right by the monument in Swampscott, right near the right with those great views of the ocean. They're going to have synthetic ice. So it doesn't matter that it's going to be 60 degrees or so on Saturday and Sunday. But they'll have ice skating there, among some other activities. And we do have them posted on that post. But kind of an interesting thing, the Swampscott getting into the holidays this weekend. Let me see, a couple of other things. On our videos today, down below on the website, we've got a variety of different things. We all know these Christmas specials on television. There's so many of them. Some of them are great, and some of them are kind of recycled. And then everybody has a Christmas album out, too. Rick, you have a Christmas album out, don't you? Do you have a Christmas album out?
A Christmas album.
No, maybe. But there's the guy, there's the one guy and myself. We're the two guys that don't have a Christmas album out. But one of our videos is Saturday Night Live video from a number of years ago where they're trying to sell you the greatest, one of those Christmas albums with an anthology, a lot of different artists on it. Then we also have maybe a definitive, but a version of White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. And then... for you car buffs, we stumbled on this one. We kind of like these little clips of what television was like in the 1950s. Classic one is the Dinah Shore Chevy Show. This is from 1958. It's the Christmas show opening. It's only 2 minutes. Unfortunately, there's no songs in it other than Dinah singing about the 1958 Chevy. But it's their Christmas open. And for you car buffs, I think you really like that open. And for those of you who weren't around in 1958 and I don't think I remember watching those shows, but I've seen these clips. Although I could have, you know, watching how they sell cars back then on these variety shows. We talked about variety shows yesterday. Kind of interesting. So that's also down at the bottom of today's webpage.
I remember, see the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to go. That's all I can remember. And she would, at the end of it, she'd give out a big kiss. You do a hand kiss there. And
yep.
So, and she had that big... that big dress on, looked like a balloon dress. I do remember that. And
there
the 58 Chevy was ugly. The 55 Chevy, now that was a classic, but the 58, not so much.
Well, if you want to argue with Rick or just hear what he's talking about, you can click down below on the website and see that 58 Chevy, and a number of different 58 Chevys, too, in that clip.
All right. Now, speaking of pet peeves, since you brought it up.
I don't think I did. Did I? Did I mention pet peeves? I mentioned Christmas albums. Okay, all right.
You mentioned
I can see how you could take that, yeah.
Well, absolutely. You mentioned Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra, I think, doing White Christmas. And I think it should be an amendment to the Constitution somewhere that there should be no other versions of White Christmas allowed other than the original Bing Crosby version, because I haven't heard a version yet from anybody, and there are a million of them out there, that does... any respect to the original White Christmas. And I don't know how you guys feel. And I don't even know, you know, I don't know if anybody under the age of 60 even has heard of Bing Crosby's original White Christmas. But no one should try to duplicate that. It's sort of like people doing Beatles songs or people copying Led Zeppelin. You know, it just shouldn't be done.
Yeah, probably not. You're right. Yeah, and he was, I guess, the one of the most recorded voices ever, Bing Crosby, with... because I guess technically, you talk about somebody who understood the facets of the entertainment world, which included radio, television, and recordings. With his radio show, I hear that he was the most recorded artist ever, because there's hours and hours of his radio shows which were just filled with music that he never really necessarily recorded all of it on regular records to be bought by the public. So, All right, we're going to
Well,
go.
then, yeah. Well, no, but, you know, all the forms of media that are available now with devices and so on, it's interesting. They call it the long curve, I guess it is. But it used to be that record companies and entertainment companies would try to sell one song a million times so that you'd get a million bestseller. But now, with digital media, where you can go to Amazon or Pandora or wherever and get a song, iTunes, now what they're saying is that curve has changed. So instead of having one song a million times, you can sell a million songs one time and get the same effect. So it is different. It is changed. You're not going to get anybody like that anymore. Although Adele's giving it a good shot. You see where her album came out a week or so ago, and bam, right to the top. She sold like a million or 2 million copies on the first day.
I did. I said, kind of following that a little bit, but I don't think I fully understand it.
Yeah, well,
not following it that closely. Yeah.
The thing is, what digital records or digital music allowed me to do, and I don't know about others, but it allowed me to discover music that I liked that I didn't know I liked, because there are so many different genres you can try. You can just click on something for 30 seconds and listen to it. And so you can go exploring, and I have found music from all over the world that I like, that I didn't know I liked, that I would not have otherwise been able to hear in the old days of radio. There's no way that I would have heard all these samples or had access to all these samples. So it's pretty cool. You can go out and record companies or Amazon or whoever selling these things, as I said, they have access to millions of songs, and they only need to sell, they can sell one song, or excuse me, a million different songs one time, and they've got the same effect as a million bestseller. Probably easier for them, obviously, in digital too, because there's no hardware exchanged.
I remember, Rick, back probably it was in the early 80s, I think. I'm guessing it was in the early 80s when I got my first CD player. Now, I'm not a big audio guy. I mean, in other words, I mean, you and I worked in AM radio. We listened to FM radio. There wasn't a big stereo system at the house ever. But, I mean, I can appreciate it. Certainly can. But I remember when the CDs came out, I said, oh, my gosh, this is revolutionizing the music industry, this high quality on this disc that should last forever, And but on the other hand, now, think about it. I mean, it's obvious that, people are not going to buy those CDs anymore. Those stores just aren't around anymore with the volume or the content that they once had. And there's no more, people aren't going out to rent the DVDs or the VCR tapes for a weekend night to come back home and watch a movie. Those stores are gone too. So we've seen a lot of changes over these 25 years.
Oh yeah, but what's really cool is we have one of those I forget what they're called, Echoes, something around Amazon Echoes, I think it is. It's like the computer on Star Trek, and you say Alexa, and she'll do something for you. And the other day, in fact, it was yesterday, I was playing some music from, I think it was Pandora, and there was a song on. And all I had to do was I said, Alexa, what's the name of this song? And then, on Pandora and on iHeartRadio and all these things, they have these texts that go with it, all this information that goes with the song. Well, she relayed me all that information about the song. So I knew the artist, I knew the composer, I didn't ask for the lyrics, but it was great. So, the digital world right now, to me, is it's the stuff of science fiction. And yet, millennials, to them, it's all they've ever seen. And so they're looking for the next thing. What's next and what's next and what's next? And it's just remarkable to me. It's fantastic.
Right. Well, coming up, we have Thomas Younger joining us. He's the town administrator, town of Swampscott. We've talked to him before. I didn't realize it'd been almost 3 months since we had talked to him. So, wow, it was back in September.
3 months or 3 years?
Yeah, really, 3 months. We try to do a monthly thing with him and other town administrators and city administrators as we can. A couple of things from the item today, the daily item out of Lynn from Swampscott High School. The headline is Swampscott High School principals leave a mystery. The principal of Swampscott High School has been placed on administrative leave, with school officials refusing to explain why the action was taken. Edris Rasmirek was placed on administrative leave until further notice Monday, December 7, according to a letter sent to high school families. So there's nothing more on that. No sense reading any more. A story by Gayla Colley in today's item. Also, that fire, we're talking about that, and we have a video post of the house on Bruce Place that claimed the four lives about a week ago. Demolition has started for that building, but there's still no cause being mentioned as to what started that fire. In fact, they had sent out word to the media, the fire department had, that for anybody with videos or anybody with any information, speaking about the digital age, that could help them, get some clues on that fire. So that's usually the fire departments are, it's amazing how they figure things out. They know what happened, seemingly almost instantly on these fires. But apparently there's some kind of there's a mystery on this one. And also the other story they have here is there's a proposed charter school in Central Square. And so there was apparently a public meeting. So a number of different people out protesting that at, I guess it was at City Hall. I'm not quite sure where it was, but they had that a meeting on that for a proposed charter school.
And, all right. A couple things in Gloucester, Bill. Yeah. Number one, according to the Gloucester Times, a crowd gathered Tuesday night to celebrate faith in a new Gloucester tradition. As I mentioned earlier this week, members of Temple Ahavat Akim invited the public to 86 Middle Street for the third night of the eight-day celebration of Hanukkah as they lit a candle on a menorah in front of the temple. But for the second year in a row, the congregation built its outdoor menorah from borrowed lobster traps with buoys topped with LED lights as candles. Tuesday night's celebration included a brief service, singing, and the eating of traditional latkes or potato pancakes. The idea behind the lobster trap menorah is to spotlight the links between Gloucester's Jewish community and America's oldest seaport. It's across the street from the YMCA. I've seen the thing. It's absolutely gorgeous. The temple is beautiful as well. Take a look at that. There's also a bigger lobster tree, lobster Christmas tree that's lit up on Main Street in front of the police station. And finally, Heather Atwood, who will be a guest once again on Josh Arnold's Trending Now Friday at 10 a.m., has a huge, huge section in Taste of the Times in the Gloucester Times about giving food items for Christmas, food and coffee and tea and things like that. And there are some great ideas. I don't know about you, Bill, but I have a tough time, a really tough time buying Christmas presents. So I'm going to check this thing out, and I can promise you I'm going to get some stuff that will be good Christmas presents from this this feature in the Gloucester Times. It's called Give Cape Ann 2015, Food for Thought by Heather Atwood.
Right there, Rick, is right in that one article, everything that you'd need to know about food for the holiday giving. Actually, those are kind of nice gifts to receive, too. It's food, it's delicious, not a bad gift to give. In fact, there's a story in today's Wall Street Journal which is not completely related to that, and maybe we don't have time to discuss this, but we'll toss it in anyways. It basically is talking about the expire dates in food, and when you buy it in the store, bring it home, and then the clock ticks on this food that's in your refrigerator, and how long is it good for, and how couples have disagreements as to when to throw something out. I don't know if that happens in your house. I know it happens in our house from time to time. In other words, I will say that's the sell date. It's not the date that you have to finish it by. You know what I mean? So you can keep that. But on the other hand, there are some things in this article that they go on and they talk about how, you could have stuff in your refrigerator that's there for years, I suppose. So you do have to watch that piece no one wants to throw food out. Some people throw it out a lot easier than others. But there are just some things about sell dates and milk. I think there's some rules on milk I wasn't quite aware of. But I guess there is a life. I mean, there's, once you open it, then the clock begins to tick on milk, too, a little bit, even after after the sell date. So just some interesting things on when to throw food out.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy. I still have aspirin in my closet that I used from 2002.
I know.
That is to say, it was supposed to be discarded in 2002.
All right, so we'll step aside here. Won't step aside. Thomas Younger joining us right now from town of Swampscott to talk about Swampscott. So hang in there with us. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. We are joined by Thomas Younger from Swampscott, the town manager in Swampscott. And Thomas, great to see you again, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too, Bill. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with our listeners.
Well, we're looking right out on the common out here in Swampscott with the decorations out here. And so I know it's always kind of a festive year right in this town center area. And I guess I noticed the other day you've got the green and blue lights, right? But I see white out there too.
Yeah. We were increasing our white lights amongst our trees in Linscott Park in this area. We started improving our lighting ceremony last year, and we're continuing to expand this. We're looking at this over the next few years to include our holiday season in our Alte Festival to include other participants, other areas of we can do with our families in town. Yeah. One of the things we're doing this weekend, is besides having our holiday parade ending here on Saturday and Sunday, we are having a temporary outdoor skating rink placed right in front of Town Hall for 2 days, Saturday through Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. Skate rentals are free, so if you haven't skated before, come on down to Town Hall and enjoy the privileges. And we are talking with expanding this to be more of a holiday festival over the years like other towns do. And so I appreciate the efforts of our Public Works Department, Recreation Department, our local businesses, our local religious organizations for helping us along with this.
And it's such a great town center too. I mean, you got your view of the ocean, you've got the monument, the flagpole, and the open space really in the center of town here. But holiday season also means budget season for you, right?
Yes.
So I mean, that's really the nuts and bolts of what you guys do.
Right. Generally, for most communities, when your budget season starts in December, it's also the holiday season where your departments are asking for gifts, asking for presents, and we can't always deliver annually on that. But the process is going through beginning in December is both for capital items, which are larger scale items such as vehicles, building renovations, generally anything over $20,000 in cost. Will be submitted to us for review in determining whether we can fund it under our five-year capital cycle, and also for general operational budgets, and that's generally operating items, personnel, day-to-day operational costs, health insurance costs, retirement costs, so forth. As of right now at this time, I'm only proposing at this point one additional staffing for general government, and that would be an administrative assistant to our planning department, where we have a one-person staff, our town planner, and I want him to begin focusing and utilizing his time, because he does a great job, looking at more economic development for our community, trying to bring businesses in our community, and continue research into our zoning laws and what we can change to improve our quality of life in our town and to bring other businesses to our area.
It's been a while since we talked, but I know before we talked you were looking ahead to the town meeting, which was now quite a while ago now. But what was the recap of the off-season kind of town meeting, I guess?
Certainly. These were basically items to fund that were currently approved in the FY16 budget. These would be some additional items that came up after the fact of the approval of the town meeting budget. One of the main items was to have an upgrade of our Munis payroll system. We did not have our IT director on board when we approved town meeting. She's now on board, has been doing a great job upgrading our systems, and this is required to have our payroll system up and running to allow various documents to be published, printed, tax statements completed, deductions being accurately done, and that will be completed during this fiscal year.
Oh. Well, that's important stuff. And
I also know last time we did talk about school buildings, and yet there's no new news on school buildings. And I think the concerns at the time, I think, were elementary schools, correct?
Correct. The project that was put to the voters and failed last year was for a consolidated elementary school, taking the three elementary schools, Hadley, Clark, and Stanley, combining them into one behind the middle school. That project failed. School superintendent is back on the drawing board with her task force, developing up where we should be going in the future, because the issues with the elementary schools are not going away. So she's putting it together, a plan with the task force to develop what our next steps are, and looking at our school system in total to determine academically and educationally what is the best lineup for our buildings, and determining which programs fit our best needs. Also included in this, the middle school, which is a number of years old and does need some capital work on that also. So I believe it's also being looked at along with the elementary schools, and eventually a timeline of how she plans on recommending this type of development.
And as we look ahead to the May town meeting in 2016, that stuff wouldn't be ready for the May town meeting, or would something be available?
If anything would be available, she would still need to file with the Massachusetts School Building Authority to approve the plan and to get funding for the project, which would also not for the project, I'm sorry, for looking at design work and such, but we'd still have to file with the MSBA, and we would still have to do plans to determine which is the best site and so forth, and very similar to what we did with the prior elementary school project.
Yeah, so that looks like that's got some time moving between now and that those things start to happen. When we also talked, you were very close to meeting with the group fundraising to put a turf field up at Bloxage Field, which would serve football and I'm sure a lot of other sports in Swampscott. And you do have an update on that.
Yes. They had stating they needed to receive $300,000 in actual cash. They have announced they have approximately $260,000 in cash and in pledges. Once they reach their level of $300,000 of actual funds in the bank, and literally they show us a bank statement, we can begin the project of design phase, of funding design phase for that process. The project will probably take about a year. We would hope it wouldn't impinge on any of the sports seasons, but generally one sports season will be probably the games, home games, will be rescheduled to either neutral field or some other fields at this point. The other update, though, on buildings is we had placed an RFP out for the old senior center, which is a house, single-family house, across the street from the old police station and the current fire station. We received one RFP proposal for that. We'll be currently reviewing it, and the RFP was for a arts center there.
Yeah.
So we'll be reviewing that, determining whether the town can accept their proposal, and if so, we can get somebody into that building and start renovating it and providing eventually arts and community services to the town.
Yeah. We're talking with Thomas Younger, the town manager, town of Swampscott, and maybe just a couple of final questions here would be development, because I know right across from your office here in Swampscott is the new restaurant that they're building. They've renovated, and it looks like it's getting close to opening.
Yes, thank you, Bill. From what I understand, Mission on the Bay, which is in the old Red Rock Bistro site, is expected to be open hopefully in February. And that's good news for our economic development in our town for a number of reasons. Besides bringing more individuals into our town and utilizing our commercial facilities and such, we get meals tax, and we are actually down this year in meals taxes. And part of the reason was we've lost that building for an entire year. Yeah. And there are right now two smaller and one medium-sized restaurant that have now vacated us and are now in the process of hopefully reopening shortly. And from what we get from that is meal tax that goes into our general revenue basis, a percentage from the state. So looking forward from a revenue source from getting them in here, but also looking from a from the side of residents having another opportunity of going to eating out and finding places to enjoy themselves.
Yeah. And obviously that's like we've talked about, location, right. a great location right next to the Hawthorne, which also is another great location. I also understand you've got a new building inspector coming on board.
Yes. We're sorry to see Richard Baldacci, our building inspector, leave to take up the position in our neighboring town of Marblehead. But we also have a new building inspector replacing him, coming from another neighboring town in Peabody. A new building inspector is Manuel Betancourt. He has approximately 8 years of experience as building inspector in the city of Peabody. He has lifelong experience in the construction trades, and we're looking forward to having him coming on board in mid-December and expecting a very smooth transition.
Well, I know Rick does interviews with Mayor Ted Betancourt from Peabody, and we don't know that the football coach is Mark Betancourt. And there's a West Peabody, so now maybe we can turn this into East Peabody here, huh? Maybe not.
Manny is also bilingual. He speaks fluent Portuguese, which is, we're always pleased to have somebody who is bilingual into our departments. And unfortunately, Peabody's loss is our gain. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to having Manny on board and looking forward to continually upgrading and serving our public in that department.
Gotcha. Anything else, Tom, you want to mention at all? Is kind of an open-ended final kind of comment?
For you to be looking for, this is for our public to be looking forward. Yesterday, I was at the State House. Governor Baker was filing legislation regarding numerous municipal changes. I've reviewed the bill, a lot of good changes that will come by that will make local government more efficient, and I will be doing a update with the Board of Selectmen on this, hopefully by next week, for what the changes are, and I'll be working on getting the legislation passed.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, Thomas, thanks for joining us. Best of luck, and have a great holiday here in Swampscott.
Thank you very much, Bill. And to our listeners also out there, I wish you the best in the holidays. Thank you.
All right, we're lacing up the skates now. And with Thomas Younger, Swampscott Town Administrator, I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, well, the winter sports season starts in earnest in a couple of days. Basketball, hockey getting underway. I guess track starts, I think it's either Thursday or Friday as well around the region. So be watching that. And we'll have some broadcasts. We're going to have our schedule up there very soon. And I want to point out, once again, the Moynihan Lumber Student Athletes of the Month, Bill. You did interviews with them yesterday on Tuesday, and please take a look at those. These kids are special student athletes. The Moynihan Lumber Program has been fantastic for the last 22, 23 years, and terrific interviews with these kids, and you'll be impressed on how bright and enthusiastic they are.
We also have Andrew Jackson, who is the boys ice hockey coach at Masconomet, and we didn't talk about this when on the post here, but Andrew, he and his wife have a brand new baby, only I think less than a couple months old, so his hockey season will be a little bit different. He's in his fourth year there. They've done a nice job at Masconomet, so we have a feature interview with him on the website as well, previewing some of the North Shore sports. And yeah, as you mentioned, Rick, it all starts up in earnest next week. And and how about this Chipotle Boston College basketball team thing? They're supposed to play Providence tonight, I believe. So I'm wondering, I mean, usually you get over that kind of illness, right? It doesn't take forever to get over, but although I don't know the seriousness of this this strain or whatever it is that these Boston College students had. Now 80 students, Rick, with this Chipotle thing down at, from Cleveland Circle, and this morning on the news, imagine this: you have a little Chipotle in Cleveland Circle in Boston, and out front today you have both NBC, CBS, one of the two of the major networks, and this is just me flipping through, maybe they were all there they were the not just the local Channel 5 and 4 and 5, you know, not just the local guys, but the Today Show, the, you know, Good Morning America, two of those shows at least. I forgot which ones it was. But they were there. They have reporters beaming this nationally across the country from the Cleveland Circle Chipotle. You know, unbelievable. I mean, I just wonder how many other people were impacted by this because, I mean, I'm sure they have a heavy Boston College impact, but there's a lot of students all over the place that, you know, that are in that area and other people as well, you know. So that's what a story that is. Unbelievable.
Well, I don't do I don't do Mexican, so I'll keep away from that stuff.
And I saw one of the newspaper stories is, well, one of the problems is we all have all these fresh ingredients, and that's why this is happening. Well, maybe, but apparently they're not so fresh here. But yeah, I'm just looking to see when the BC game is here. Yeah, they're at Providence tonight. I guess it's a must be a 7 o'clock. Yeah, 7 o'clock game tonight. So whatever. All right, I guess that'll do it for us. So thanks so much for being with us today on North Shore Today. A special thanks to Thomas Younger, the town administrator, Town of Swampscott, here with us today. And with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com.